Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme this week four exciting and talented players of this game. And they are seated on my right. It's always a pleasure to welcome that skilled exponent of Just a Minute, that great humorist, Paul Merton, and sitting beside him, someone who's played the game more often than any of us, and that, because he was right at the beginning there, that's our veteran player of the game, Clement Freud. And seated on my left is a great pleasure to welcome back, after quite an absence, a wonderful comedian who's up here actually at this festival, and that is Ross Noble. And seated beside him, somebody who's only played the game a couple of times before, but it's a pleasure to have him back on, an all-round humorous personality, Phil Jupitus. Please welcome all four of them. Thank you. Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Latitude Festival at Henham Park in Suffolk, near Southwold. And we have a group of festival stalwarts in the audience who've just come from their camper vans in order to cheer us on our way as we start the show with Paul Merton. Paul, a good subject. This is the Latitude Festival, but would you talk on longitude? 60 seconds, starting now.
Longitude measures long and latitude measures latte, or expensive coffees as we know them. Longitude was discovered by the film actress Joan Crawford in 1947. Before that, the measurement did not exist. Her close friend Betty Davis worked hard on the equilateral triangle, but she was beaten to the final formula by the magnificent box office star Clark Gable, who not only being a movie hero of the first rank, was also a first-class mathematician.
Clement Freud, your challenge.
Repetition of first.
There were two firsts there.
Was there?
Yes, a first movie act and a first class.
They came from quite soon after another as well.
I know, they were quite close.
Shame that, wasn't it?
No, it doesn't matter. We loved it. Completely surreal, utterly
dangerous. No, it's all true.
No, right. Oh, I'm sorry.
Otherwise, somebody would have buzzed me.
Clement, you had a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course. And there are 35 seconds still available for longitude, starting now.
Longitude is what you do when you pine for someone. You sit there wondering when he's going to return for a sort here.
A film challenged.
You sit there wondering. Surely you can't sit and wander. You either wander or you sit.
I think he was saying could be on casters.
I thought he was trying to say wondering, weren't you?
Then I apologise. The batteries in my hearing aid obviously need replacement.
He might be...
Your apology is accepted. Phil, just a second. What are you saying, Clement?
The apology is accepted.
So, Clement, an incorrect challenge. You get a point for that. You keep the subject. 27 seconds, Clement. Still with longitude, starting now.
As for latitude, which aligns going the other way from longitude, it is also a festival at Henham, near Blybra, not far from Southwold and Raden, adjacent to...
Paul, challenge.
Have we slightly wandered away from longitude at this point? Because we are talking about latitude in some detail.
I think you're right.
Yes, I think I'm right as well.
Latitude, the Latitude Festival, and giving us the location of it and in great detail, because he knows it, he knows the area well, and so I give you that... what was it? Yes, I was trying to
get... Would you like your tea now?
Would you like a punch now? Right,
yes.
So...
Yes, I would.
Correct challenge for deviation. Paul, you've got the subject back. You've got 15 seconds, longitude, starting now.
It was Spence!
Oh. Ross, you've challenged.
Sorry, I just wanted to see you punch Phil.
It was nice to hear from you, though.
Yeah. Hi. Hi there.
Me and Nicholas do our part of a BBC Fight Club. It's ourselves, me, James Naughtie, Nicholas, Eddie Grundy from The Archers, stripped to the waist in a cellar in Brixton, punching bilio out of each other. It's splendid.
You keep the subject, longitude, and there are 13 seconds starting now.
It was Spencer Tracy's lengthy thesis on the origins.
Clement, challenge.
That's quite far away from longitude.
Absolutely. Quite a long
way.
Next
word. His theses on the origins of longitude.
No, you were going back to your old films and everything like that, of which, of course, you are an expert and very knowledgeable. But you had him for deviation, so right, only fair and just. He has got you for deviation. Clement, you got the subject back of longitude, and there are 10 seconds starting now.
I had a friend called Longitude. She was really nice. Lived in Lowestoft.
Paul Charles.
What was his first name? This friend of yours. In your own time, Clement. When he phones, what do you say?
Longy.
Longy. I withdraw my challenge.
It's too late, he was interrupted.
Yes, so it's true. I didn't know he had a first name, but he did.
He keeps the subject still with longitude, still with you, Clement. 5 seconds starting now.
On a map, you can see lines which go left to right and up and down. One of these is called longitude.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Clement Freud. And at the end of that round, he's in a strong lead ahead of all the others. Clement, we'd like you to begin the second round. And the subject is Facing the Music. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
In the 1980s, I wrote lyrics to a song called There May Be Trouble Ahead, but while there are pancakes and muffins in Betty's Cafe in Harrogate, let's face the music and dance. And it had been written before by somebody.
Paul Challenge.
A repetition of written.
Yes. No, he wrote it the first time.
No, I wrote.
He wrote the first time,
yes.
And then he said written.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yes. Ooh, yes. I have to listen.
Do you?
Clement, an incorrect challenge. You've still got the subject. You've got 44 seconds. Facing the Music, starting now.
There are other things you can do to music, like kick it.
Paul Challenge.
There was a slight hesitation.
Yeah,
there was a definite hesitation.
Yeah, on the subject. And,
but Clement was waiting for the crowd to go, yes, you can.
A correct challenge to you, and it is now the subject, Facing the Music. 38 seconds starting now.
If you're a professional conductor, you are obliged to face the music, otherwise you don't know what the band is playing. If you look...
Ross Challenge.
Couldn't you just listen?
Now you've got to do the waving of the stick.
Yeah, but you'd hear what they were playing.
Yeah, but you can't fix the first violinist with that stare that says, come in now.
You could have mirrors. You could have, like, wing mirrors that stuck out the side, and then you could wave over your...
Ross, I think you've got a good challenge for deviation, because obviously, if he can hear it, he must know what the music is.
Yeah.
If he doesn't hear it, he couldn't conduct it, could he? So I give you your challenge of deviation.
We have just reversed 300 years of musical practice where the conductor faces the orchestra.
The conductor has to listen to the music.
No,
he
you're
has
right.
to give
you're...
them the beat and the
yes,
time.
Yes, you're quite right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely right. Excellent, excellent chairman.
Right.
Best chairman we've got. Absolutely excellent.
It's the only chairman you've got.
That's what I mean.
Anyway, Ross, a correct challenge for deviation, and you have 32 seconds. Tell us something about Facing the Music, starting now.
For many years, I worked as a professional concert conductor, and I introduced a new system of mirrors, which I would attach to the back of my head. It was unorthodox at the time.
Paul Challenge.
Well, deviation, you wouldn't call yourself a professional concert conductor. You'd be a professional conductor, but you're not a professional concert. The word concert's completely erroneous.
No, I only did concerts. Yeah. Because what I found was, when I tried to conduct buskers, they got really angry.
Did you have your back to them?
I did, yeah. And that's the first rule of being in the music business. Never turn your back on a busker.
Yeah. Ross, I think you've justified that it was an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject and you've got 22 seconds to continue on Facing the Music, starting now.
If you intend to face the music, it helps if you have a massive face. There are many famous big-faced musicians in the world. I won't mention them now, because if they were to come round and say, hey, have you been accusing me of having quite a massive visage, then they might attack me. The headbutt would be terrifying as they came in, bang, flinging you hundreds of yards. That's why I always keep my back.
Well, Ross Noble kept going magnificently with Facing the Music until the end of the round, got that point, the extra point for the whistle, going, and he's equal now with Paul Merton in second place, still in the lead, Clement Freud, and Phil Jupitus, it's your turn to begin. And the subject, End of the Pier. Tell us something about that subject in this game starting now.
When I was at the Radio 4 Fight Club the other day and punched to the ground by James Naughtie, as I landed, I found myself thinking of the wonderful Southend Pier. Oh, the lengthiest pleasure pier.
Ross, Noble Challenge.
Oh, being at Southend is not wonderful. It's anything but wonderful.
Well, that's it's just got a long. Wrong on just, so many levels.
Essentially, it's
I
just.
I give you a Narnia poking out into the
you
sea.
You know what it is? It's a never ending bridge of chavs.
It is.
Right, everybody has a different interpretation and a different appreciation of things. You like Southend Pier, he hates it. It doesn't matter, you are not deviating.
So what do you think of Southend, Nicholas?
Well, as piers go, I think it's fine, but as places go, there's many I prefer. I'm going to... You've still got End of the Pier,
yes.
Phil Dupatis, and you've got your first point as well, which is great. And you've got 51 seconds to continue, starting now.
The West Pier in Brighton is one that they tried to demolish some years ago by means of explosives, which were laid at the base pillars and then set off. Some miles away in Shoreham, a lady was awoken when a bolt shot into the wall of her house. Imagine her surprise to find such a rusty object poking out into the garden. Where, oh, where could that have come from, thought she, little knowing.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of where?
Where, yes. Paul, yes, a correct challenge. A repetition of where, and it's the end of the pier, the subject with you, and 27 seconds available starting now.
The end of the pier as a focus for show business entertainment has gone down over the years. Max Miller was a very famous comic. He used to often play at the end of the pier. He used to say things like, my wife is...
Clement, challenge.
Repetition of used to.
Yes, he used to play at the end of the pier and used to say...
I know, somebody's just been taken off the life support. What's going on?
That actually is the game, you know. And I know you get disappointed because you
let's,
wanted to
let's
hear...
Let's try it about any challenges at all. No, no. Let's see if then, it lasts 40 years. But,
then you'd have to be funnier, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a spiky little thing. Have you had espresso today?
Yes, I did, before I came on. Have to have come in to keep me going with you lot. Especially you. Right, there we are. He's twisting my arm already. 18 seconds. Clement, it was a correct challenge. You have the subject, end of the pier, 18 seconds, starting now.
The end of the pier, what we call the reorganisation of the House of Lords, is actually long overdue. It seems to me absolutely disgraceful that people, by virtue of their births, should have some say in how this country is governed. And the sooner we can get rid of peers in general, and Lowestoft peers.
Well, Clement's party political broadcast kept him going till the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he has increased his lead at the end of the round, just ahead of Paul Merton, Ross Noble, and then Phil Jupiter's in that order. Paul, we're back with you to start, and the subject now is Suffolk Punch. Tell us something about Suffolk Punch in this game, Paul, starting now.
Suffolk Punch is not to be confused with a Glasgow kiss or a great Yarmouth yawn. Suffolk Punch has every alcoholic drink imaginable in it. First of all, you start with gin, then a bit of vodka, whiskey. Then, perhaps being a bit more adventurous, we go into red wine, Rioja, a bit of white wine, a Cabernet Sauvignon. And then, as a final piece, the resistance, you put in a big...
Clement Freud, you've challenged.
Two wines and three thens.
Yes. Yes.
Is this not the wine and then show? I've been double booked.
No, you let him go for a bit because he's been enjoying it. Well done, Clement. So you have a correct challenge, you get a point for that. You take over the subject, which is Suffolk Punch. There are 36 seconds available, and you start now.
A Suffolk Punch is a heavy horse, like a Percheron, which eats a huge amount of grass. I once tried to purchase a Suffolk Punch because I'm deeply fond of the animals and was told that 2 acres of land was the absolute minimum which I must have in order not to be accused of starvation of these beasts. Has the clock stopped?
No.
I thought time had stood still, didn't you?
Yeah.
You just ran out of steam. And there are 12 seconds still available, Ross.
Oh, yes.
You had a correct challenge, so you take over the subject. You get a point for a correct challenge, of course. Suffolk Punch, starting now.
When Nicholas Parsons used to work as a bare-knuckle boxer, his signature manoeuvre was the Suffolk Punch. He would travel around the land, and whatever place he was in, he would make some kind of action, for example, the Wessex...
Whoever is speaking in this game... When the whistle goes, gains an extra point, and of course it was Ross Noble on that occasion. So, Ross, you begin the next round, please. Oh, yes, specially chosen for you, Down Under. Because we know that you live in Australia most of the time now. But talk on the subject, 60 seconds, starting now.
Of course, Down Under refers to Australia, a magnificent place with...
Phil, challenge.
Australia is not magnificent. It's a dusty, arid, lager-stenched...
Australia, South End.
And it's all it's got.
I'm afraid I have to point out, you haven't come on this show to argue geographical points.
Apparently, I have.
Right. Anyway, you made your geographical point. It was an incorrect challenge, and Ross has still got the subject, Down Under, and there are 57 seconds available, starting now.
There are loads of great places you can visit. Brisbane, Mackay, Rockhampton, Townsville, Cairns, Darwin. You could go to Port Hedland, Karratha, Carnarvon, Bunbury, Albury. You could see the magnificent... I've said magnificent twice. It's doing so well. Essentially, I was just listening off last year's tour dates there. I thought... I could probably...
Yes, and I know you toured them all. So, Phil, you phone challenge first. Yes, hesitation, we all spotted it. 41 seconds starting now. Sorry, I didn't remind you of the subject, which is what I normally do. So, Phil, yes, correct challenge.
What's the subject?
Down Under.
Thank God.
And you have 41 seconds starting now.
Do you come from a land down under where women glow and men chunder? An anthem to life in Australia. Indeed, thinking of those ladies themselves giving off some kind of radiation accompanied by gentlemen who are vomiting profusely. That, to me, defines the very essence of the Antipodes' largest island. When I personally think of there, I visited Melbourne some years ago to perform at a comedy festival where the audience was generally welcoming, but on occasion, when I vented my feelings about the country, they became hostile, throwing their tinnies and stubbies in my direction. How dare you posit about our wonderful...
Right, so Phil Jupiter's speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and he went for over 40 seconds on that one. Well done. But he's still in fourth place. It's a cruel game, isn't it? He's only 1 point behind Ross Noble and Paul Merton, who are equal in second place, and then Clement Freud just ahead of them. Paul, we're back with you to start, and the subject now is listeners' letters. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I don't know how many listeners write into the programme to complain about various aspects or to praise...
Ross, challenge.
A lot.
Paul, you have the subject and you have listeners' letters and you have 56 seconds starting now.
I know that Nicholas often tells me that he receives letters addressed to the programme, but what he doesn't know is that I write them all. I am Mavis from Broadstairs who says, "My dear Nicholas, I often wonder if..."
Phil, challenge.
Repetition of Nicholas.
Yes. Nicholas. Ooh. I've never had that reaction from my name before. Rather enjoyable. Nicholas. Phil, a correct challenge.
Thank you, my friend.
And there are 44 seconds available. You take over. Listeners' letters starting now.
What kind of person is it hunched over their wireless, listening to every single outpouring of wisdom from...
Paul, challenge.
Hunchback. What kind of person listens hunched over their wireless?
It doesn't matter what the state of your anatomy is, you can still hunch over your wireless and listen to it. Mind you, wirelesses are so good today, you don't have to. You can stand a distance back and hear it. 37 seconds, listeners' letters, with you still, Phil, starting now.
What on earth is it that they can be thinking about these shows that drives them to their word processors, their pens, their very...
Oh, yes, Clement, challenge.
There.
There.
It's the same as
word.
Small words is still part of the show. Right, Clement, another point to you. 30 seconds. Listeners' letters starting now.
Every month of the year, each week of the day, I don't get...
Paul, your talisman.
Each week of the day.
Each week of the day. I think that was deviation from language as we understand it. In the sense that it's the days of the week and not the weeks of the day.
Well...
What if Clement is a Time Lord?
Wait a minute. Just wait for it.
No, no, we have to be as logical as we can in this game, Clement,
really?
Otherwise we're never going to get anywhere. Yes. Yes.
This is new.
It is new. Did you not get the newsletter?
Let's have you being logical, then.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, now we're trying to carry on in a logical way. And it's Paul, you've got a correct challenge on the subject. 24 seconds available. Listeners' letters starting now.
Dear Just a Minute, I was listening to the recent episode from the festival and I could hear this dull thumping bass note in the background. If you are going to resuscitate Nicholas during the show, please do not do it.
Ross, your challenge.
Repetition of Nicholas.
No, he didn't say Nicholas. Right at the beginning you said, dear Nicholas, yes. But, well, there's two things. First of all, we give...
That was me going, meh. That wasn't a cow wandering in.
Paul, the audience enjoyed what you said so much, we give you a bonus point for the reaction you had. And I should explain to our listeners before we go any further that we are at this festival here at Latitude and there are other shows going on all around us and there is a thumping bass going somewhere. It's not my pacemaker. And
Nicholas,
yeah?
If you're giving points for reaction, I had quite a reaction on that.
On which one?
Oh, all along.
I don't think up to now you deserved an extra bonus, but we'll give you one for that audience reaction you had just then.
But he's got a...
Thank you.
But Ross, you had a correct challenge, and you have...
I've forgotten what it was now,
I know,
or what we're talking
about
why we're here.
13 seconds are still available. Ross, you had the correct challenge. The subject, as you've forgotten it already, is listeners' letters starting now.
I read a lot of listeners' letters. I get the names and addresses from the Radio 4 database, go around to their houses and just steal them. All the things that you can find in other people's mail is quite good, yes. Sometimes you'll find that they've won a competition from the...
Full challenge.
Repetition of find.
Yes, you went round to find the letters and now you find they won a competition. Well, listen, Phil, right? And you've got in with 2 seconds to go. 2 seconds, Phil, starting now.
I think that when listeners' letters...
Oh, Ross challenged.
Repetition of when. He said when before.
I know he did. You're quite right.
I didn't say when. I said, I think that listeners' letters...
No, but when you were
did
speaking previously...
Did
you
I?
Say, yes,
yeah.
You did, definitely.
When.
Wow!
Wow! And, Ross, you've got in with 1/2 a second to go on listeners' letters, starting now. Oh, we're moving into the final round. And I will give you the situation as you go into the final round. And it's all very close, because they're all equally talented and it deserves to be this way. But if you're interested to know the actual score, Phil is only just in 4th place, one behind Paul Merton, and he's 1 behind Ross Noble, and he is 2 behind Clement Freud, who's still in the lead, as we go into the final round, and it is to be begun by Clement Freud, and it is so rather apt. A camping trip. We do talk about a camping trip in this game, starting now.
Camping, as audiences will know, is in the south of China, where hoisin sauce is produced almost nationally, if not citywide, and all over the town. The sauce, which I've mentioned before, which somebody should have challenged me for.
Paul, yes.
A repetition of sauce.
Yes, there was too much sauce, I'm afraid, Clement.
I don't know. I suddenly tuned into what you were saying, and it suddenly it was there.
It was there, right. The sauce was there, and there are 45 seconds still available, Paul, and you take over. A camping trip starting now.
Well, it's looking as if this festival here is going to go on to a marvellous, strange... I don't know what I'm talking about.
Ross, you challenge.
I'll have that.
All right. We call that hesitation. And 41 seconds are available. A camping trip with you, Ross, starting now.
The best way to enjoy a camping trip is to take LSD with Dale Winton. It really is both a trip and incredibly camp. That's right. What you'll find is that his skin, already orange as it is, will get more and more vivid.
More,
you idiot!
More and more. It's so natural to say it, but so wrong in just a minute. Clement, you were the first to get in, and you've got a camping trip is back with you. And there are 26 seconds, Clement, starting now.
A tent is quite important. Also marquees and other bits of whatever.
Ross challenge.
There was a definite
which we call hesitation. So a camping trip is
you
back.
You could have waited. I would have got another word out.
Yeah, but you did actually say which is a definite hesitation.
Did I say
You said
I thought he was tuning into the universal consciousness.
if you'd followed it up with the word bongo, you could have pretended that you were asking for a lovely drink. They drink it in the Congo, you know.
Right.
That's all they drink. If you go to the Congo, can I have some water? Haven't got any.
You've got 19 seconds still on a camping trip starting now.
What you can do is take your guy ropes and stretch them out unfeasibly long, and you'll find that a camping trip ensues as people stumbling around drunk in the festival environment will fall forward flat down into the mud. They will leave an impression of their face. You can go along and use that as identification.
So Ross Noble was then speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so. And now I give you the final score. Phil Jupitus, who's not played the game as much as the others, but he did extraordinarily well, but finished in a powerful fourth place. And Paul Merton, who usually excels, but he finished in a very strong second place. But we have two equal leaders, so they are the joint winners. That is Clement Freud and Ross Noble. Please welcome Ross Noble. So much. Oh yes. Oh. You have been a lovely, lovely audience. It only remains for me to say now, thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Phil Jupitus, and Ross Noble. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score, blown that whistle beautifully when the 60 seconds had elapsed. We thank our producer, Talusha Gilani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And as I said before, we're really indebted to you, this lovely audience in this wonderful marquee in this festival at Latitude in Suffolk. From them, the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and everyone else, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play... Just a minute! Yes!